Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Got our Padres smorgasbord coming up later this hour, taking a look at the 2026 roster and finding a player. And the best way to improve your team is always from
within.
Within, yeah.
Best way to improve yourself
is from
to look inward.
It's true.
That's it.
Padres will need probably multiple players to have better seasons yeah. in 2026 than they did in 2025.
Yeah.
And that comes from both the pitching and hitting side, I would think. We'll take a look and see who we think has that room for improvement and is poised for a big 2026 coming up in our Padres smorgasbord. But as you heard in our first hour, our friend Woodsy yesterday got to live a bit of a dream. When he joined his good friend Mike Reiner from back in Dallas, the guy he listened to growing up every morning on the radio.
Every afternoon.
Oh, I thought they were in the morning.
So they were an afternoon show.
Yeah. And now he's doing a podcast called
Your Dark Companion.
Yep. And you facilitated a meeting between Reiner and the new manager of the Texas Rangers, Skip Schumacher.
Yes, I did. And, you know, Reiner's a baseball lifer. When they opened the new ballpark, they brought him in to say goodbye to the old ballpark. Like, they did a whole feature. He was the guy. So he is as baseball as it gets. And he was very skeptical about Skip Schumacher. You got to remember, Skip Schumacher was on that Cardinals team that handed the Texas Rangers one of the most devastating moments in their entire franchise history. Nelson Cruz dropping that fly ball, David Freese coming around. Skip Schumacher was on that team. So they're like, oh, great, a Cardinal is coming in. That's how they roll, right? And I said, man, Rhines, you're going to love this dude. You're going to absolutely love him. And we talked on the podcast last week, and then they invited me back. And they invited me back because I knew Skip and I could get him back, and they wanted me to be on there with him.
You were AJ Hawk yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just...
Skip, this was awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Woodsy, thanks for making this happen.
You're just holding thanks both for of being their there. Hands, you know, to connect them.
Just sitting there. Just sitting. No, I did get to speak up a little bit, and Rhines asked him how he started listening to Ben and Woods.
Yeah, very instrumental.
Did you do a show with Ben and Woods? A regular weekly thing or something?
No, he just listened, right? Just drive it in.
Yeah, I lived in Orange County, which is about an hour away from Petco Park in San Diego. And as a coach, my family lives here. I didn't want to uproot them and move them. And so I would commute every single day. And I started listening back as a player when I was with the Dodgers to the radio show. His name is Dave Vasse up in L.A. Me and my Nick Punto, who's a former player, who's my neighbor. We would listen on the drive up there. And it was just really cool to listen to a different perspective from either fans or radio hosts. And Dave Vasse was really good. So I decided I'm going to do the same thing on the way down to San Diego. And I decided to pick Ben and Woods. And it actually really started the year before COVID. But during COVID, it was unbelievable for me driving in, listening to Ben and Woods. And it was getting their perspective. They're really smart. I know he doesn't want to admit that. But they see the game in a different way that really opened my eyes in a fan's perspective. And so I was very interested to listen to them. And it just ended up being a friendship that lasted now the last 5 or 6 years.
You want to elucidate further on that, Woodsy?
Yeah, but you want to talk about panic is when, you know, I ran into Skip at the ballpark, I think, down in the clubhouse. He's like, hey, I love your show. And I'm like, excuse me, you listen? And it is like the most terrifying feeling, because you forget, Ryan's, and you know this, man, you get in there talking with your buddies and you're just talking and you forget that there are people listening. And it was a good lesson for me. And it still is. Like, I told a story the other day and I got a text from Bud Black, and he said, your story about the nude spa that you went to had me rolling at 6 a.m. And my mind just blew up. And I go, buddy, you heard that? And he's like, hell yeah, I heard it. And it kind of makes me sick, because you get loose in there and you're talking. And you're like, who's listening to this right now? And so we heard that, and we love Skip. We were so happy to have him with the organization, obviously. And like, I would bust his balls all the time about the Cardinal way, because we played them in the playoffs, and it was like, I'm like, who are you rooting for? You know, like, it was really fun. And you know, we are pretty like-minded as well. And like, I'm a dad, and I've leaned on Skip over the years. We're both big mental health advocates as well. So that's something that we connected over. There's a lot, man. And I admire him greatly. But it was a real panic that set in the first time. I'm like, you guys, the first base coach is listening. Well, you better clean it up. Like, we really better clean it up a little bit.
I know what you're thinking. I get it. That was the most self-serving clip.
Yeah, that's why we played it.
Any radio show has ever played.
That's why we played
it. You'd be absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how the game's played.
That's how the game's played. That's what you do. You gotta pump yourself up. Nobody else is going to. All right.
Kidding me? I'm clipping that part right now.
Post it on Instagram.
It. Yeah. 100%.
Paulie, make sure everybody knows how smart we are.
Yeah. I mean, we need a promo. Ben and Woods.
They're the smartest.
They're the smartest people.
Yeah, it's great.
They know baseball so well. Their perspective is phenomenal on the sport of baseball.
I asked him, you know, I do wonder too, like, if you're a player, would you ever listen to this show or really any other show? I don't think I would. I don't think I could handle it. Like, I don't go searching for my name or anything.
It says a lot about Skip that he actually, like, made the conscious decision that I want to do this. Because you find that the people who tend to be, I don't know, the right kind of people are willing to listen to people who disagree with them, that challenge them. It's not simply an echo chamber all the time. And you get in an echo chamber and all you hear are people who agree with you and, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And you don't hear the other perspectives. That's a dangerous road to go down.
I mean, I had a guy yesterday, I was going back and forth with him about Tatis, and he said, this is why people think you're petulant. And I wrote, yeah, I know I'm petulant. I know I am. And I said, I have many faults. I absolutely do. I need to hear that sometimes. I need to be able to, living in an echo chamber is, it's fun sometimes. It's great. Sometimes you need it. Sometimes you need people around you telling you, no, it's, you guys are on the right track. But you also need that guy that let me know, this is why people think you're petulant, because you act like a petulant child. And I go, it hit me, and I got mad for a second. I go, no, he's right. He's absolutely right. And I said, no, you're right. I absolutely am and can be. But I'm working on it, you know, totally working on it. It's a hard line, too, because when you're arguing on Twitter, if you and I are having a debate, when you're arguing on Twitter, there's a lot of nuance lost and a lot of sarcasm is gone. And you try to make your point without being a jerk. And then they start being a jerk and then you have to be a jerk back. Well, then guess who's the petulant baby? But as a radio host, too, like, I also like to engage in debate. I'd be better served if I never went on Twitter. 100%. I'd be better served if I didn't. But I enjoy being available. I enjoy being willing to have a conversation. I don't admit I'm wrong very much on there. I'll be honest with you, because I feel like if I go to Twitter and put it up there, I'm putting my stamp on it. It's not one of those things where I go, all right, I see your point. Like, if you're telling me Tatis sucks, I'm going to tell you he's not, and I'm going to give you evidence not to. And if that makes me petulant, I thought I was just trying to win an argument here, but that's just how it goes.
Now, do I feel like Mike Shildt shared the opinion of Skip Schumacher that Ben and Woods were, you know, really smart baseball, you know, radio hosts? I don't know that I think that, but I will say that Mike Shildt, not in an echo chamber, made me better over the last couple of years.
Unquestionably. Unquestionably.
I learned a lot from him.
I did too. I had to put so much more thought into conversations and questions. I had to put so much, way more than I should have. And I didn't necessarily like it all the time because I'm like, why can't we just have a fun conversation and break balls and you can explain, you know, whatever. But it wasn't that way. It just wasn't. And so you have to.
You know, he challenged us a few times.
100%.
Sometimes I think he was wrong.
Yes.
Sometimes he was right.
Yes.
Too.
No question.
When he challenged us.
It's just part of the game.
And, you know, that was a different perspective. Totally different. You know, opinion than Skip Schumacher. And, you know, there's people out there that don't like this show at all, and that's absolutely fine. You're still listening, which we appreciate.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's just interesting, and it was nice to hear Skip say that. You obviously are a lot closer with Skip than I am. You know, I've texted him half a dozen times. You text him regularly.
Yeah.
How often would you say you? A couple times a week?
Lately, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
With everything going on, with him, with us. It's been a lot. But we, you know, during the season last year, wasn't very much because he wasn't doing a lot. You know, I mean, he was doing a lot, but he wasn't a spotlight, so to speak. So this year, he's going to be the manager. I'm not going to mess with him very much. You know, he's managing a team. And there's a lot that goes with that. But yeah, man, we'll certainly go out and see him in spring training. We'll go out and visit with him out there. And certainly do we play the Rangers next year?
We go to Texas. There. Yeah. Middle of the season, I think in June or so.
That could happen.
Texas. Yeah,
as well. Fun. So look, he would have been a great fit here. There's no question about it. He would have been a great fit for this team. The guys know him. They respect him. He did show me a text that he got from Fernando that said, I'm so happy for you, Skip. That's amazing. Go kick some ass out there. Wish you were in a different uniform, but, you know, like there, he said, that's my favorite player in baseball is Fernando Tatis Jr. So take that for what
it's
worth.
He's got good taste.
He's like literally the most grounded human I know. And he's like,
a manager of the year.
He's also manager of the year. And he's like, that's my guy. That's my favorite player in baseball. So, you know, take that for whatever you is worth. But it's nice for me to get the perspective. Cause I send him stuff and he sends me stuff about his son, Brody. And I send him stuff about Bo and his baseball. And he was so kind when Bo made his pitching debut and struck out the side. And I sent him the video. He was like, F yeah, dude, like it's cool. And so he is a guy I'll lean on, Ben, in the upcoming years because he's been through all of this. The travel ball, the showcases, all the stuff that Bo really wants to end up doing. He's going to be my resource for it because he's lived it.
Meanwhile, the search for a new Padres manager is underway. We have heard really next to nothing, you know, speculation pretty much is all we've gotten, and that's mostly true of all the open jobs. There's not a lot of chatter. You heard the Angels were interested in Albert Pujols, and now it's come out that the Orioles are also interested in Albert Pujols. The name has certainly been mentioned in connection with the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
You know, the Dominican heritage and whether that would be a good fit, a guy with that amount of star power and credibility coming into a clubhouse with guys like Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. You know, there's a certain logic to that the Padres would be interested in Albert Pujols.
You can logically connect anyone, literally anyone. I mean, if you logically throw out a name, oh, Scott Servais, okay, no problem. Well, he's in the organization. He's already in the building.
Nick Hundley,
former Padre catcher, you know, good idea of what goes on the field. Pretty fiery guy, but also a player's guy.
Rocco Baldelli,
you know, has management experience, led a young team in Minnesota.
But these are all names that just sort of make sense. AJ Preller could like think there's no chance I'd be hiring that guy. It's, you know, we don't know what's going on in his head or who's an actual candidate. We're simply
just throwing out names.
We're simply looking at the list and this seems reasonable.
What manager, like what style, who is the right fit? Not actual names, but like who is the ideal candidate? Because we've talked about it, like it's kind of absurd that AJ's hiring his fifth full-time manager or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like not a lot of GMs do that, especially in just a span of 10 years.
Well, I'll be honest with you,
Paulie. And we've seen him we've hired the no names, we've hired the big names, we've hired the yes men, we've hired the
veterans.
I'll be honest,
I thought Bob Melvin was the right manager for this team. I was convicted in it. I have egg on my face because of that. He was not. Bob Melvin, and I don't hate Bob at all, I did piss me off when that season got away from them, and he did nothing about it and quit. So Mike Schilt's case is a little bit different. I also thought when Schilty got here, I go, all right, like, I'm willing to give this guy a shot. And then I thought he was the right manager when we're winning world, you know, winning playoff games. And, you know,
he was the right manager. I think he was. I don't know that there was anyone. I
mean, Bob won twice as many playoff games as Schilt.
I don't think there's anyone who could have done a better job than Mike Schilt the last 2 years, getting more out of this team.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to say
with the same players.
It's hard to say that. I have no idea.
I don't think so.
Well, Pat Murphy could have done a better job.
I mean, he had the same players. I don't think that they hit more in the postseason with a different manager. It is what it is. I think he got the most out of the teams that he was given the last two seasons. Yeah. He was the right manager for the job.
So you ask what it looks like. In my mind, it looked like Bob Melvin. That was the one. I thought this is perfect. Garners respect, you know, universally loved, 100% grades across the board. I spent hours digging into Bob Melvin. Hours. Texting all sorts of former players and people that covered him, 100% marks back, 100. Mm-hmm. Now, I did the same to Mike Schilt. I didn't get that. I didn't get 100% across the board. I didn't. And that's okay. He came in and won 90 games twice, took us to the playoffs, and now he's gone. So I don't know what he looks like, Paulie.
I don't either.
We can look back at the hires that AJ has made, and I think there's a certain logic in that. When the Padres were building and filled with, you know, young players who were coming up and weren't expected to be competitive, he went with the let's try to find lightning in a bottle, the next big manager, tried with Andy Green, tried with Jace Tingler. When they started adding to payroll and bringing stars in, all right, we need experienced guys who've done this before. Bob Melvin, Mike Schilt, managers of the year. This is still a team that is going to be trying to compete for a World Series title that has stars on the team. So my thinking is expect someone who's done this before, who already has a name established as the next manager. Does that mean that a guy like Ruben Niebla is out? A guy like Ryan Flaherty is out because they haven't done it before? I don't know. Maybe the fact that they're familiar with the organization gives them a leg up, but I don't see someone's bench coach from another team that has no knowledge of the San Diego Padres coming in and going, yeah, I'm the right guy to, you know, lead this team that I don't know into the future. If it's a guy from outside the organization, I'm expecting it's going to be an experienced, a big name that's been there before.
Now, you can make the case for that guy, too, by saying, hey, you know what this organization needs? A fresh voice and a fresh set of eyes. You can make the case for anything. I can spin any line of BS on anybody they hire. Anybody.
I don't.
And nobody knows if I'm right or wrong.
I don't really think the organization needs a fresh voice.
I'm just saying, if they did hire one, you could spin it.
I mean, you have a bad season. You need a fresh. Padres have had two good seasons back to back. I'm not going to evaluate everything based on whether they won game three against the Cubs or not. That doesn't mean you had a bad season. You had a good season. So you don't need a fresh, big changes being made. You had two good seasons. You want to try to keep as much of that as possible and then just figure out a way to win one more game in a postseason series. That does not mean major changes. That means almost no changes whatsoever.
But I'm just telling you, if AJ hires somebody that doesn't have any experience and is from out of the organization, you're going to have to make your peace with it. Because again, here's the soup. Eat it or don't.
Most names that get floated out there are first-time managers.
A lot of them are. I've seen a lot of retreads too.
I mean, I can understand internal candidates. Esposito, Niebla, Ellis, because that would mean we want to keep as many things the same as possible because we like where we are. I could see someone who's done it before, who's been an established manager because we are trying to win and we need someone who's not learning on the job. I cannot see someone coming in who's never done it before and doesn't know the San Diego Padres and is going to want to make a bunch of changes. I just can't see that as being the direction AJ Preller or Eric Grubner or John Seiler are going to want to go.
Well, imagine,
here's how I'm going to overhaul your organization.
Imagine thinking that they've ever done anything the way we think it should have been, or the way we thought it would be done.
That's true.
Right?
All right, let's take a timeout. Let's get to Don't Do This is coming up next. Hey, it's not only Snapdragon Stadium that gets criticized for having a horrifically bad playing surface. We'll tell you where players are very upset with on the NFL level and take on or and Don't Do This coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First up, though, Prize Picks, daily fantasy for everybody. Millions of users, billions of dollars in awarded winnings with Prize Picks, where you're just picking against the numbers, setting lineups between two and six players with a chance to win real money while you're watching sports. And keep an eye out for all those special squares as well, opportunities to win big with their max discounts. This week, Steph Curry discounted, only needing to go for more than half a point for their game on October 21st. First game of the professional basketball season coming up. Keep an eye out for Steph Curry. The discount, a max discount, you put that in your lineup with one, five more players, you have a chance to win just by picking more or less against the stat projections. Just make sure when you download the app, the Prize Picks app, you use the code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first five lineup. It's code KWFN, get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Easy to use, easy to put your money in with Venmo, Apple Pay, or MasterCard. And then, of course, you want it to be easy to take your money out when you win. I've done it before. It is. Money is in my account in minutes. And then, you know, go back and win some more with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Padres smorgasbord coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, it is time for Don't Do This. It is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
Yes.
Is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Woods, would you like to get us started?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
If you have little ears in the car, we might want to turn this one down. I don't know how to do this. Cal Raleigh, his nickname is the Big Dumper.
Oh, I think I know what story you're talking about here.
There was a guy in a shirt when they were playing in Seattle, and he had a
Toronto.
In Toronto. He's a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah.
And he had a shirt on, and he was front row, and it was in the shape of, well, a
plug.
And Ben came in the next thing and goes, that's a lava lamp. I said, it's not a lava lamp. It's not. It's not a lava lamp.
Yeah, Mark Grant has one of those on his desk in the broadcast booth.
A lava lamp, but not what this is. This is something different entirely. And the gist of the shirt is, get it, Big Dumper, that shirt with that shape.
No, thing, please explain.
That, I guess, would you call it a marital aid, potentially? So he wore it to the game.
He wanted the Blue Jays to stop up the offense.
Correct.
The production.
Of Cal Raleigh.
Of Cal Raleigh.
Correct.
Hmm.
I
racked my brain for what that conversation with his wife sounded like as he left the house. Hey, I'm going to wear this. I'm going to wear my lava lamp shirt.
Where she's like, honey, no. Where's my lava lamp
first
shirt?
First row, right? Like, you can't. He's like, no, I'm doing it. And of course, Raleigh hits a home run in that game. They dominate. Well, now, adult side Cam Soda has come out and said they want to hand out Cal Raleigh Big Dumper
lava lamps.
To fans. And I don't know that Cal's going to say, sure, use my name and image and likeness on these. But the VP, Darren Parker, said it's our way of giving fans a playful keepsake to commemorate your legendary swing. And let's be honest, your equally legendary nickname. If the team's open to having some fun with it, they won't be. We'd love to make the Big Dumper giveaway happen and spread a little cheeky joy throughout
like
the stands.
Like an actual giveaway at the stadium.
At the stadium. Here you go, kid.
First 30,000 fans.
Get a Cal Raleigh
I know they sometimes
lava lamp.
Have giveaways that are only for like kids 16 and under.
Right.
Is this the first giveaway ever for adults 21 and over?
Is that a theme game ticket?
It's a theme game. Don't forget to get your theme name game ticket for the...
Padres.com/theme game.
You can't get your prize without a theme game ticket.
For the plug. I'm going to call that a don't do this.
Right, I will agree with you, and we will move on. You know what? It's not just Snapdragon Stadium. And by the way, haven't heard any complaints this year after the... The miserable playing conditions that existed as they were trying to dial in the grass last year, and you could see just how bad it looked, and players were complaining. They had to move a wave game from like home to road because conditions were so bad they were not even able to play. They seem to have ironed that out this year. Now, unfortunately, in Pittsburgh at Acrisure Stadium, they're experiencing some of the same problems. In fact, it got so bad for the Steelers-Browns game last week that players on both sides expressed outrage and concerns to their Players Association about the embarrassing playing surface. It looked terrible. Players said you just step on it and the grass would just basically come right off.
Was that the one where the kid
just did a complete slide out?
His foot went down like 6 inches into the ground.
Chris Boswell is the one, missed a fourth quarter field goal as he was trying to plant his foot and it wouldn't plant. Special teams captain Miles Killebrew suffered a, quote, significant non-contact knee injury as he planted his leg on the turf. Cameron Hayward, Steelers captain, said, I lost one of my teammates. Kind of makes me sad about it.
Yeah.
He said, honestly, it was was the field conditions at Acrisure Stadium. Mike Tomlin, the coach, asked about it. He said, yeah, can't hide it. It was terrible. They're addressing it. They're replacing the field. In fact, it had already been scheduled to be replaced, but didn't have time to do it before the game so it could get, you know, settled and set in. So they had to play it on a really... really bad field, and it's kind of the debate because most players will tell you they'd rather play on grass than artificial turf,
sure,
which generally leads to more injuries and non-contact injuries. But they said, but that it can't be like that either. I mean, you know, they want perfect, right, regular, natural grass turf to play on every single week. But when you're a winter sport, it's not always going to be ideal.
You are a gazillion trillion dollar entity. The NFL. No excuses.
It's hard, yeah.
I get it. But at what cost? The cost of player safety?
Should they have moved that game and played it somewhere else?
I don't know. Just get the field right the first time, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's got to be right.
At some point, though, there's no amount of money that can fix it. Like, hey, we think the field's going to be good, and then you're like 5 days, this thing's not looking great, and we can't... too late to replace it. It's too late to do anything about it. And then you're just stuck.
And it's literally like, stuck.
We'll replace it immediately after this game, but until we play it, there's nothing we can do about it.
All right, let's do a little doo-doo this. This got me.
DD mega doo-doo.
So I love this dude's attitude. I really do. I think his outlook on life is really fascinating. It's not me. It's not anybody in this room. But Cam Scataboo is a guy that I'm pretty fascinated by and have been for a while. And he is a rookie in the NFL. And they wrote an article about him yesterday that had me in stitches. So it's an ESPN story. They're asking Giants teammates to describe Cam Scataboo. And it's exactly what you'd expect. And it says in parentheses, complimentary. Apparently he is. So they asked some of the Giants. So running back, Tyrone Tracy Jr. So they're in the same They're in the same pod, running backs. Because everyone tells me, bro, get your Rook. I'm like, bro, what do you want me to do? Tell him to be quiet? He's always yelling. He's very loud. We'll be in meetings. And Scat asks a question. He just yells it out. He might be wrong, but he'll yell it out, and everyone looks at me. I'm like, bro, what do you want me to do? It's nothing crazy, but he's always yelling. Whether it's yelling out stuff in the meeting room or just screaming when he goes out to practice, he's just very loud. I think if you paid him to be quiet for a day, he couldn't do it. Another one of his teammates says, he blurts out anything. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, but it's always loud. That's in every meeting we have. He's as genuine as they come. He's genuinely an idiot. He doesn't know where he's at.
As long as he's genuine.
Most rookies, when they first get into the league, are like, oh my God, it's the NFL. For him, it's just another day playing football. He doesn't know he's a rookie. He has no idea, right? He just is in there having a blast every single day. Dante Miller, running back, says, I've never seen anyone chew seeds as loud as him. Everything he does is loud. What's that crazy cartoon character that's the Tasmanian devil? He's like that, but he chews his seeds very loud. First time I ever met him, says Daniel Bellinger, we're in the sauna. We go into the ice tub. We're sitting in there in the ice tub, and this guy, right when we get in, he just starts yelling. He's like, ah! I'm like, are you okay? This guy's a little different. I've never met another teammate quite like him. He's just himself. And again, I think the part that I liked was like, how much joy he takes in his job every single day. And I like the part, too, where it says he doesn't know he's supposed to be a quiet rookie. He's just there to play football. And he's a really fascinating dude. Really, really. Like, we talked about him. He's got that Gronk effect to him. And, like, you know, he's not dumb. He's just himself. And I thought that was a really cool story. His teammates, you could tell, probably the first couple days, it probably started to grate on him. And then they're like, no, that's just this guy. That's who he is.
If it's genuine,
yeah,
great. I think
it's genuine.
I still think there are going to be some guys that
it rubs the wrong way.
And just avoid, like, try to avoid him. Like, if we had someone like that, I'd probably be like, I'm glad he's him, but
yeah.
I'm just going to walk on this side of the building, and if I see him coming, I'm going to duck into another room because I don't want to deal with that every day.
He is really having he's having a good year. You know, he's backing it up, the whole thing on the field as well. I thought that was really refreshing. Imagine a new rookie walking into the Padres clubhouse like that. You know what I mean? What the players would do. I think, you know, you need that. Remember that guy for the Giants, that Drew Gilbert guy that was like choking and stuff? It would be insane when he first got there, but after a while you're like, oh, that's our guy, that's our mascot. And I think that's what Cam Scatabo, it's refreshing, I think, in the NFL.
Like the kid who came into Shawshank,
Tommy.
Tommy. Tommy. Yeah, Tommy. I know, the old guys. They like
we
Tommy.
We liked him almost instantly. Didn't work out well
for Tommy.
Hopefully it ends up better for Cam
Scatabo.
Yeah, than Tommy.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Smorgasbord up next. Who is the Padre that you think is going to take the biggest leap from 2025 to 2026? We'll talk about the roster up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
I may be going to have lunch today at 7 Mile Casino. Been having a hankering for the 24-7 Players Menu Kung Pao Chicken. Got a story shoot down there in Chula Vista, so I'll be in the neighborhood if I can make it out. I might be there later today. It is our place to play cards, to have a good time, and it is so easy to get to right off the 5 freeway there in Chula Vista.
What are you going to have?
Kung Pao chicken.
Of course you were going to have the Kung Pao chicken. Now I'm actually getting a little jealous because it's so, so good. Everything they do is right at 7 Mile Casino. Got all the card games you're looking for. They got Texas Hold'em, Pai Gal, Baccarat, and of course California style blackjack. You going to play anything while you're there? Maybe a couple hands of blackjack?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I have a full work day, so I don't know how much time I have for everything. But if I can, at least want to get there for lunch and have a nice meal today.
Well, everybody should check it out for themselves. Been a longtime supporter and partner of the Ben and Woods program, so we'd appreciate that very much. Head on out to 7 Mile Casino. You won't be disappointed. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 8:30, Enoceris' weekly smart baseball appearance from The Athletic. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys. Helping clients regain control since 2010, visit davidpshapirolaw.com. You were just saying during the break you have to do another background check for Little League this
year. Yes, I do. I'm coaching two teams in the spring.
Put David P. Shapiro on that.
Why?
Well, thank you. I'm sure he can get you out of any background check difficulties.
I haven't done anything. I'm good. Okay, but I just did one. So I guess it's smart. I could have gone on a killing spree between last season and this.
They wouldn't want you back as Little League coach
was
the case.
Oh, you're facing capital murder charges? We're going to pass on you doing the background check.
All right. It is going to be time for our Padres smorgasbord topic of the day. We will get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Padres smorgasbord.
All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Call it something else.
We didn't.
What's the lifespan of the smorgasbord? Is it until we get a manager? Is it until the offseason? Are we playing this every day? Is it until Ben runs out of topics?
I mean, like, if we're going to get down to, like, what's your favorite sandwich at Petco Park? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to have enough?
You just tell me when it's over. I will continue to feed you topics, and one day you will go,
I can't do it anymore.
You are scraping the bottom of the smorgasbord barrel. We can end it now. We can end.
We've eaten it all.
We'll have more.
As the
offseason continues, they're going to add new players. You're going to have to start figuring more specifics out, like lineup. But we can't do any of that until, you know, we kind of know who's on the team. But one thing we do know are the players who we expect are going to be coming back for 2026. And I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that if you want the Padres to get, you know, all the way, win a World Series, they're going to need better performances from some of the guys who are already on their roster. Today's Padres smorgasbord question is, which player do you see the biggest jump coming from 2025 to 2026? And that really can be anyone. Keep in mind, though, if you're picking Fernando Tatis Jr., coming off a 6-WAR season, you're pretty much saying that he's going to jump to be the MVP. I think that's a legitimate possibility in selection, but where they were in 2025 informs your kind of pick here for where you think they're going to be in 2026.
I mean, is there a different answer? Does anybody actually have a different answer than the very massively obvious one of Jackson Merrill?
It's a good one. It's not my answer.
Really?
Yeah. That was mine.
That's mine, too.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson.
What kind of season would you think that would be a big jump? He wasn't bad this year. He had some injuries, but
I think, well, again, yeah, staying on the field is promised to no one. Right?
I was surprised when I pulled up his stats. He had 115 games and 483 plate appearances. Now he did miss a good chunk of time, but that's also that's about a full season. That's
264, 16 home runs, 774 OPS. I mean, how much better do you think I think he can definitely be better.
I think he can be better.
I don't know that he's going to be hugely better.
His OPS in 24.
826.
No, 826.
Okay. I mean, if he gets back to that, that's great.
That's fantastic.
I feel like there's probably other players who were less contributors in this last season who might be and have a bigger impact. I immediately went more to the pitching side of things.
Did you?
Is there going to need...
Joe Musgrove doesn't count.
Pitching. Yeah, throw out Joe Musgrove. He injured all year. Certainly, he's going to hopefully contribute more than he did last year.
If he pitches one pitch,
Dan, one of the things I did... I thought Freddie Freeman was a really good answer, potentially, given his first real opportunity to be a starter from spring training on. Going to learn the pitching staff, you know, for months. Just be in a better place going forward. I think... I think he's got that, you know, what do you call it, the dog in him?
Yeah, definitely
has
the dog in him.
I think Freddie Fermin is an excellent answer from the position player side, but Padres are going to need pitching. They're going to need starting pitching as well. And where is it going to come from? I kind of looked at the minor leagues. I mean, guy like Omar Cruz, we saw a little bit. Is he going to end up being a starter? I go, no, I don't think he's the guy. Is it a bullpen guy who jumps up? I don't think there's – Adrian Morejon can't really be much better than he was. Mason Miller can't be better than he was. One guy who's probably going to surprise you that I think is going to play a key role for the Padres in 2026. You're going to roll your eyes.
Oh, God, I know what's coming.
You're going to groan.
No.
But he's going to get a lot of starts.
Oh, no, don't say it.
He's left-handed.
No, don't say it.
He's had multiple 2-3 war seasons in the past.
He's going to say it.
And he's got a full offseason to work with Ruben, the lab, spring training. I think J.P. Sears is going to be an important and a jump-forward member of the San Diego Padres in 2026. You're all dismissing it because you saw like three bad starts from J.P. Sears. He's a better pitcher than that. There's a reason why A.J. Preller wanted him on this team. It's tough to adjust in the middle of the season to a new roster, to new coaches and everything. But given an offseason and given the Padres' glaring need for starting pitching, he's going to get opportunities. And the track record would suggest he's going to be not an all-star necessarily, but a guy who is going to put you up maybe a 2.5 to 3 war season as a pitcher. You need that more than anything else right now. And a 3 war jump from where he was, and he wasn't good with the Padres, would be a huge addition to the Padres' rotation. They kind of need J.P. Sears to step up and be a guy for them next
year.
So
needing a guy to step up is different than expecting a guy.
But he has the experience of doing it before, too.
I mean, his career ERA is like 4.5. So I'm not expecting, you know, I'm not expecting him to. And we don't even know that he's the starter on this. He could be the friggin' third starter on this team or the fourth, as it stands right now. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, we need it for sure. We need it. But
we saw the,
whatever AJ saw in him, I'll just say this. AJ knows more than I do. And I didn't see it. I didn't
we
see
saw
a lot
it
of,
in that one game. Remember, he was dominant. It was the Rockies.
Was the one
yes.
where we're up a bunch and he just wore it for a while?
No. He pitched really well, and then it fell apart like in the fourth. He struck out 8 in the first 3 innings.
That's right, and then just completely melted down.
Yeah, kind of had a quick meltdown, but there is good stuff in there.
Is there?
I do think so. I mean, I think there's a pitcher in there. There's something that AJ saw, and I'm going to give him some faith.
Okay.
And the Padres need a lefty in their rotation. Wow. They need pitching badly. He's going to get it. He's going to get a huge opportunity.
He will have
next
a,
season for the San Diego Padres.
He will have a. He will have an opportunity. He will. Okay, she says, "Woods, you remember how you felt about Kolek and Vasquez at the end of last season?" I do. I think for me too, and I'll admit this. I do get lulled in like everybody does. I get sucked into velo. I do. It's the way of the world these days. And I look at Vasquez and I look at Sears and I'm like, if you're off a quarter inch, man, it could be the roughest day for you out there. They're not guys that have big velo. They don't, their fastball doesn't play, you know, at the big league level. Randy's able to get outs. He's really, really good, but I just, okay, like I'll get behind that in the fact that we need that from him. We absolutely need that from J.P. Sears. I just don't know. I'm just not seeing it. I just don't see it.
It's fair. I mean, he didn't give you a reason to really,
not really no.
believe it. But we haven't watched J.P. Sears that much. I think it's a mistake to jump to the conclusion that he's just a guy that you're going to throw away. They're not going to throw him away at all.
How old is he? 26?
J.P. Sears.
29.
29?
29-year-old thumber, man, is what he is. He's a thumber. And, okay, like Randy Vasquez is not. Actually, Randy, at the end of the year, was throwing 97 miles an hour,
Randy
man.
Vasquez,
that was pretty incredible.
I think he's too good
he's
to
too
really
good this
be,
year
considered
to be considered yeah.
A huge jump guy.
He was our second best pitcher last
year. Crazy.
It's crazy that guy, you know, J.P. Sears' fastball averages about 93. And that's now a slow-throwing guy.
Yeah, he's a thumber.
That used to be.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, my God, this is our flame-throwing fastball. I mean, it's now that's your. That's your change of pace guy at 93.
I mean,
Major League Baseball.
Here's the funny thing about J.P. Sears. it's one of those deals, Ben, where you look at it and you go, okay, let's say he goes out and pitches 180 innings and he's one of those 13-9 guys, right? Pretty good year, right? These days, especially. That's phenomenal.
It'd be like a 3-WAR probably, right? If he gets a solid number of innings in.
Then you face the Dodgers in round one. Does he get a start?
No. I don't think so. But you're going to need to replace Dylan Cease's innings. I mean, just the innings.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to replace the innings. Yes. Yeah.
And it's not like Dylan Cease had any better than a 4.5 ERA this year either.
Yep.
He may have had the stuff. Dylan has the stuff. You've got it.
Yep.
But I think J.P. Sears can replace 2025 Dylan Cease.
Yeah, he basically, if you could replicate what Dylan Cease did, those exact numbers, that's valuable to the San Diego Padres.
I think it's very valuable to the San Diego Padres, and I think he can actually do that.
Pat says 93 is different from a lefty. Not for big leaguers. It's not. He's a 4-5 ERA guy.
You need a lefty in your rotation.
You do.
Padres were too right-handed in their starting rotation. We'll come back. Hour number three in Osiris. We got Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Chance to win the trip to Las Vegas and more. Don't go anywhere. 2 hours to go on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.